Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Matthew chapter 10, part of verse 7 and verse 8. It reads like this from the English Standard Version. And it says, and proclaim. Now Jesus is speaking, and he's telling his disciples, proclaim as you go, in other words, as you wander from place to place, and the places that you go intentionally. Wherever you go, all the places you go, proclaim, say, declare, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You have received freely of this gospel in your own life. Therefore, freely give it. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, Jesus says to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes in this gospel, believes in me, is baptized and will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, catch this now, these signs will accompany those who believe in me. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. You know, we look at these two passages, and there's indication like Jesus is making a list of things that those who believe in him and declare to follow him or declare to be disciples, these are things that they do. Now, I don't want you to get too tangled up here with, you'll forget the rest of the list and you get tangled up and we're, you know, picking up serpents and drinking poison and all of that. Listen, you need to know there's references in Scripture and place in Scripture where it talks about, events and unforeseen things and incidents and accidents happen. You know, like even in the book of Acts where Paul is picking up firewood to put on the fire and a viper comes out and, you know, bites him and he shakes it off in the fire and those who were there were all waiting for him to die. And nothing happened to him. The Lord just protected him. You'll look at places where God's people or they drank water that was bad, not intentionally, and discovered it was bad or could make them sick or give them an infection or make them, you know, ill or it was toxic. And nothing happened. So there's things in this life that, you know, we encounter, we don't purposely do, but we encounter, and the Lord's protection on those who go about doing the things that we are called and directed to do. So, you know, if we were to look in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, the Great Commission, it says that Jesus instructs his disciples. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay, making disciples of all people or all nations. So here's this list that we can kind of accumulate together. Now, I want you to know that this list is not a conclusive list, as if this is everything that a believer and a follower and a disciple should be doing, and that's it. But there are some significant things in the way of ministry and acts of ministry that we are called to. Say this word with me, disciple. Understand, a disciple, those who believe in Jesus, they say, I'm a disciple of the Lord. Here's the reality about discipleship. Discipleship is not discipleship until the disciple disciples someone else. Because discipleship is not complete until the disciple disciples someone. So, you know, turn to the person next to you and say, are you a disciple? Don't answer, just ask them, are you a disciple? Ask them this question, and don't answer back, but according to this, you know, it says those who believe will do these things. So ask this question of yourself and the person next to you around you, and if you ask two people, it's okay. Do you believe? Ask, do you believe? See, those who've come to faith in Christ, your answer, do you believe, is yes, I believe. But if we believe, and these are some of the things we're supposed to be doing, then we have to ask ourselves, does my profession of faith that I believe, is it backed up by the signs and wonders and the conduct of my life and ministry, does it match? Now, this is the part where this is a standard and to remind us and a direction to move us and move me forward in my faith, not for me to go, oh, you know, I look at the list, well, I'm doing that one, yay, you know, but the rest I'm not doing, oh. And you walk out with guilt. That is not, listen, do not walk out that way. That's not what this is about. This is about reminding us and calling us onward and upward and into a deeper faith. Okay, and so, you know, here it is. You know, this is how the Holy Spirit, you know, helps me and talks to me, and I'm just going to share it in the same way that he talks to me. I'm going to share it with you. For example, it troubles me that on that day where I am before him and I say, yes, I believe you. Yes, I am your disciple. And yet, I never discipled anyone. I never prayed for the sick. I never proclaimed the gospel to anyone. Not just from the pulpit, I mean in my personal life. Leave my call as a pastor out of it for a moment. But me as a man, as a person, have I ever proclaimed the good news of the gospel to someone? You know, I remember times many years ago, I was pastoring a church, and there was a, you know, not an old couple, but an older couple in the church. At the time, they had a grandson living with them that they were kind of helping raise, and it was an evening. He, in their living room, he walked over. The three of them were at home, and he walked over to the thermostat to adjust it, and he fell to the floor. And he had a massive heart attack. And we found out, of course, you know, a little while later, after they got to the hospital, that when he had that massive heart attack, he was immediately gone. He passed away. He was dead. I got the call. They were on the way to the hospital. They didn't know any of that yet. I was on the way. I was close to the hospital. I was there waiting for the family and for him to arrive. And, of course, all medical staff, you know, take him, and they're doing what they need to do. And the family's outside and, you know, kind of meeting with them. And, you know, this is a couple that I love and appreciate and respect very much. And then, of course, they come out and they share the news that they could not do anything, even transporting him there. He was already passed away at the hospital. They attempted to do what they could, and he was gone. And so I meet with the family, and, you know, I'm there. And then I got permission that if I could go in that room and I could see the body. And I remember going in there, and on this occasion when I did this, I was alone. I went into the room and I had a conversation with the Lord. And I know the list. These are not new scriptures to me. And I talked to the Lord, and I tried to raise him from the dead. His proper name is Robert, but he had a nickname all his life. It was Coot. So it took me a long time even to know his first name. It was Coot. That's what everyone called him. Remarkable man. Quiet man, hardworking man, wise man. And I remember going in, it was the first time in my life that I tried to raise the dead. Now, you're a little nervous, you're a little apprehensive. You know what the word says. I know what it says. And yet, you know, there's a measure of my natural person that just says, he's gone, he believed in the Lord, hallelujah, and this is it. And yet I knew in my heart the list. These are things that Jesus did, that his disciples do, that he calls us to. And my flesh, it did not want to do this. You know, don't look foolish. You're feeling a little embarrassed. All the flesh stuff that comes up for us. And yet I said, you know, I know the list. And either I believe, and I am going to be your disciple, or I'm just going to say I believe. And just explain away the list, or let the list be for all the, you know, the greater faith and all the professionals, so to speak. And I paced in the room. I was talking things over with the Lord in the presence of Coot's body, whose spirit was not there. And then I proceeded to express faith and to raise him from the dead. I would love to tell you that he coughed or sneezed and sat up and said, I'm hungry. But that is not what happened. I never raised him from the dead. And I will tell you this, that each time that I have done this in my life, because it wasn't just the once, it gets a little easier. Do you remember riding a bike? It's kind of hard at first. The more you did it, the better you got. You remember riding the bike and always looking back to make sure dad or mom had their hand on the seat, you know? Like, yeah, I'm riding. Look, don't let go, don't let go, don't let go. And then you're riding along and you say, don't let go, and you look back and you realize they're 10, 15 feet behind you. And you know their arms aren't that long. You know, our flesh, your flesh, my flesh, our human mindset, it keeps us confined to a place that we consider to be safe. No risk. We say we believe, and yet we never break the threshold and work beyond that anxiety or doubt and say, your word and my obedience is greater than my faith, my flesh. My obedience and my faith must be greater than my feelings. Because if I just say, oh Lord, I'm just waiting for you to kind of inspire me to do this, I may never sense that inspiration, but I have to remember that the list, this is already the inspired word of God. It's always nice when you feel inspired and feelings match what you're about to do, anything in life, but that's not always the case. I did not want to stand before the Lord on that day and say, I believed in you, and I'm your disciple, and yet I never attempted anything on the list. In other words, I stand before you, I believe, and I'm your disciple, but I never shared the gospel with anybody. I believe in you, and I'm your disciple, but I never laid hands on the sick and prayed with them. And I don't mean just at church when the pastor sets it up and say, you know, all of you would come, or would some of you come, and you do that. I'm talking about even outside of this place where there isn't a instruction and there isn't a program and it's not, you know, confined into a service. I'm talking about with someone in the family or someone is a friend or an acquaintance or a stranger, that your conversation leads to their need and they express their brokenness and you have compassion and you know the list. You know what Jesus does and you know what he called us to. Have we ever offered to pray with them? Randy, you say that you are my disciple. You know that you've been called to be a pastor. And you say you believe, but you never tried to raise the dead? You see, we want to be the living church in a broken, lost, hurting world. And we grow to a place where it's easy to say, I'll pray for you, and not that there's anything wrong with that or faulty or not. I'm not suggesting that we don't follow up, but that's pretty comfortable. I'll go pray privately for you in my life somewhere. Oh, I could never pray for a person out loud and be... You know, this list is not totally conclusive. It's indications of specific things that we should be doing and the signs that follow our life. In other words, in the wake of our life, in other words, as we're going along and moving, you know what a wake is? You ever been in a motorboat? And you look, well, either that or a canoe where you're paddling really fast. You can sometimes make a little wake. So the motorboat, you're going, and you look behind you, and you see the waves that happen because the boat is moving. Those ripple, that's a wake. If we were to look at our life and moving along, is there anything in our wake that gives you signal or leaves a sign, or that in our life we leave a trail, an indication that we are a disciple of the Lord? By the powerful acts of ministry and the expressions of faith that we do. You see, that day, on that occasion, and once again, it was not the only occasion that I've attempted to raise the dead, but on that occasion, Coot, he did not resurrect, he did not raise to life. But I'll tell you what, I did. And it wasn't about me. It was about the Lord and it was about Coot. But part of it was overcoming my flesh. And in that, I was raised to life. Because the Lord helps us break that barrier of our doubt and where things are safe and where we talk ourselves out of doing the things that we say we believe and the disciple we think we are. We're supposed to bring life and hope to the world or to our brothers and sisters in the faith who have a need. Listen, that day, my prayer and my commands, they did not receive the blessing that I sought. But I didn't walk away and say, I'll never do this again. And whether it was feeble faith or some other weakness on my part, or whether it was just the will of the Lord, whatever, I just know that on that day in my life, I do not want to stand before the Lord and say, I believe and I call myself a disciple, and I never did the stuff on the list. Now, the dangerous things with list is you will sit here and go, I did that, I did that, I didn't do this, I did that. Well, I'm better than average, or, you know, I still got time, I can get those other ones, or, you know, that's the dangerous thing with the list. The list helps us identify, but in this case, the list does not end there. It says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says this. He says, you who believe in me, You who believe in me. Now remember the question you asked somebody earlier. Do you believe? Inside, we probably answer, and this natural thing is to kind of say yes. It says this, that you who believe in me will also do the works that I have been doing. Jesus did the stuff on the list and so much more. The list is vast. It says, those who believe in him will do the works he's doing. And then he says, and you will even do greater things than that which you have seen me do. So there's more than just the list. But can we look at the list and say, you know, am I really a disciple? Am I a disciple? Do I believe him? We like the piece of saying yes. And I understand it's a progression and it's a growth, and that's what I'm pointing to. I'm not saying you should all go out and be presumptuous and start, you know, trying to cast out demons and do this and do that and woohoo. I'm not talking about going out and proclaiming the truth and cramming it down somebody's throat who has no interest and no ability to digest it at this point in their life. Jesus talks about it. Don't throw pearls before swine. It has nothing to do with anybody being a pig. What he's saying is, don't take something valuable and give it to someone that can't digest it or understand it at this point in their life. It is wasted. Sometimes it's having multiple encounters with somebody you know, and they get to a point, and now you start to share the gospel with them. Rather than, I am going to do what's on the list, and come here, you're my next candidate, and I'm going to cram this. No, you're going to listen to the rest of the, you know, Salvation Road, you know, Romans Road. I'm not done yet. We can do more damage than good. You see, we talked about doing the works of ministry, but there's a hinge point. The hinge point is this. I'll call it a hinge point. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Listen to this now. Jesus speaking, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And they will say to me, who called me Lord, Lord, but we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did signs and wonders in your name. And Jesus says to them, because they're doing stuff that's on the list. And he says to them, but I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. Here's the hinge point. We are to be doing the works of ministry and obey beyond the boundaries of our flesh that keep us at bay and kind of where we're at in our spiritual ministry, kingdom ministry, Jesus ministry. He says, but when you break that threshold and do those things, the other part that is supposed to be connected to that is not that we are workers of lawlessness, but rather we live a life through faith in God and responsibility and the help of the Holy Spirit to live a life of righteousness. It's about the way we talk. It's about how we work. It's how we treat people. It's how we treat people. Let me say it again. It's how we treat people. Worship is not singing a song. Your worship, that's part of it. Your worship is how you treated people this week. God is very interested in how you treat people. And you can sing the song here and say, welcome, Holy Spirit, but you haven't welcomed the Holy Spirit all week long the way you treat people. It's always interesting to me when some go on like ministry trips or missions trips or go somewhere or they were somewhere and, you know, whatever it is, and they come back and they want to tell me testimonies of what God has done, and I am interested in hearing it. But I've noticed with some over the years that they come back, they throw in a hallelujah and a praise God and all of that, but they come and brag about what they did rather than really glorifying what the Lord has done. He's letting them use their name. They're seeing signs and wonders. They're seeing fruit. But somewhere along the way, they have lost the personal connection to the name of the person they've been using. Lawlessness. That you can be unholy, understand this, and God can still use you. We don't like that. But here's the thing. When you're using God's name and the power of his name and you're doing these acts of ministry and God answers and God does some signs and wonders some of the time through your life, we take it as a sign of approval of who we are. And we think we got an in with God. It's his name. He's the one who does it. And it clouds our understanding and we lose connection with the Lord and we don't live so holy in our life. Listen, I have been around some... The privilege of, through my lifetime so far, to be around some very, very dynamic people, people of notoriety in our realm of Christianity and fellowship, and I have watched God use them, I've watched their gift, and then I've sat at a dinner with them, or I watched them behind the scenes. I did not like them, who they were. Now, I'm not throwing stones. I'm not saying names. Listen, we all have our shortcomings. I get it. I am not sitting in judgment over their life. They answer to somebody else, not me. I'm busy judging me. And you need to be busy judging you yourself. See, the hinge point is we can break the barrier of our inhibition over here and do some great things. But we can lose out in the end. And he doesn't know us because we lost relationship with him. You see, relationship with him and our personal life should be connected to the works of ministry. They should be traveling along together. Not one exceeding the other. Not one lacking behind. Not one who says, I'm becoming more like Jesus in my person and in my character. That's wonderful. At the same token, we're not doing anything on the list. And there are those who they're doing stuff on the list, but they're losing connection in their character and who they are. They're lawless in who they are. There's no sense of conviction sometimes in some of the very obvious personal things in their life. Listen, we need to allow God to work out the power of ministry through our life and obey him in it. And we also need to be paying attention not just to works, but our being, who we are and who we are becoming. We're the living church. And we have a mandate. And I do not want to show up in the end and say, remember me? I did a few things, and I believe... And I'm your disciple, but I never discipled anyone. Never had a relationship with anybody that I kind of connected with and encouraged in the faith on somewhat of a regular basis for some season of life. Or, well, I believe in you, but, you know, I've never tried to raise the dead. Never tried to, through prayer, in your name, bring healing to someone who is suffering. I'm not trying to be harsh with you. I'm talking about myself. But if that's the fruit of ministry and the fruit of character, do I look like a believer? Is this the way I treat people? This is the way I restrain myself where we need to be restrained in certain things. And when I look at what acts of ministry am I endeavoring to do according to obedience to God's word, Are any signs and wonders the talk of the Lord? Is that the trail I'm leaving? Or am I just leaving a trail where everybody just kind of wonders about you? They proclaim this, but they don't act like this. Or they're pretty holy, but they don't really do any acts of ministry. Listen, this is the full gospel. It's a gospel of power, of salvation and a transformed life, and a power for us to overcome our barriers, to keep us where we are, kind of looking like, you know, pretty good, kind of safe, feel like we're maybe ahead of some others. But all that other stuff, well, that's, you know, that's for pastors and that's for evangelists only. No, are you one who believes? Because you will do the things that Jesus did. And even more. What I'm trying to tell you, encourage you, is this. Wherever you're at in your walk, it's not in comparison to anyone else. Am I moving ahead? And am I moving through my anxiety? Am I moving through my fears? Am I moving through the embarrassment or what my reputation might be? Am I working through what if God doesn't do it? There's been a few occasions or so in my life where I've attempted to raise the debt. So far, I'm 0 for whatever. But I won't stand there on that day and say I never tried. With a sincerity. I don't mean flippantly. And so look at the list. Look at all that Jesus did. Can it be said of you? Can it be said of me that we believe? And that it is evident that you and I are his disciples.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.